passing soon I'll be home. That girl said she wants me back. Life's hard when you're all alone. I'm going back where I belong.
Go back home. Back home.
I'm going back home.
Back home.
Not a one-night love. wasn't there. Looking in so suddenly, leaving shattered feelings and broken hearts. Just like a drifting captain on a mutiny ship, on a sea that has no chart, where do you start? A woman knows the ways to make her man feel someone cares. So take me, make me feel love's not a one-night love affair. Love's not a one-night love affair.
it's not so funny. Some will try to make the difference with the word.
In those words, they're like a ship without a sail, floating aimlessly to no avail.
You are me and I am you, but I'm a little slow at getting through the feeling that you give me.
And how I hope to God you'll stay. Feel my heart, babe, what words can I say?
Torture burning, my heart aflame, delight your every day.
Let the world know what becomes the day. See you smile, girl, as my night away.
Thank you.
gonna say, no, it's not a moment too soon. I woke up this morning and opened my eyes. Look at the beginning of the spring in my life. And it's a reason enough to believe good things can happen, you see. Just look around you, it's true. Good things can happen to you.
Time won't give them to you. Thank you. pay for her decisions. The stage is set. The stage is set for a pitiful collision. Thank you.
thinking I'm a one night stand. As I live as like grains of sand.
KGB put together a 52-second version of Inagata De Vita.
Cool.
Would you like to hear it?
Sure, go for it. Probably not get as much exercise during the show if we were to do that version. Yeah. Sweat.
Well, that song still is one of the most requested flashback tunes.
Really?
That there is. You played a SWAT meet here in San Diego about a year ago, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
How did that go?
Oh, terrible. The only thing good about it was the folks that showed up to share it. I mean, that was fun. I enjoyed the nice sunny day that we had been blessed with, so to speak. And but you know, in my heart, I couldn't help but keep looking over at the stadium.
Doug Engel of the Iron Butterfly. Iron Butterfly. Maybe Doug's now going to become an entomologist and specialize in garden snails, insects, and other garden pests. And...
Mm-hmm, like the bug lady.
You know, he's getting
Remember
ready.
Her, the one who was trying to put the paternity suit on you?
Oh, yeah. Well, she was an entomology professor at UC
State. Not necessarily a professor into the Iron Butterflies.
Anyway, he's going to record some new music, tour Europe, where the band is still popular.
Well, speaking of old things that are still around, got to be this Psycho film. And last night, KGB-FM premiered the new film Psycho 3.
It's kind of a peculiar question, but if you were asked to rejoin the Iron Butterfly today, their new touring version, you would say
no.
No.
No, I don't know. I went through that. They came over. The guys came over, and they were playing out at the swap meet. And I haven't seen them in a long time. So
an interesting story to tell you.
I went out and saw them guys and stuff, and they were. It was just I spaced out. I really went back in time. I just completely spaced out. But it was really, and I started thinking like shit. I want to sing again. I'm gonna go sing again because I was getting tired of working in the restaurants and stuff like that. I'd love to sing it, and it's just, I don't know why, but it just touched me, and I brought out the old memories really hard, so right then, for a while there, I was going, I'm going to go back and sing with them, and I called them and talked to them, and nothing became of it, and after I started, you know, after the initial shock wore off, the old, I went, no, that's not for me, no, what are you doing, don't go back, start something now, and go forward, you know, that's what I thought.
Did you get up and sing with them that day?
No.
It's really interesting. I have a subscriber. His name's John Stout.
I didn't get up, but they introduced me.
Yeah. Well, he's from the East, and anyways, he wrote me this letter complimenting me on fanzine. He said he was in San Diego and saw the butterfly, and he said that you were in the audience. I don't know how the hell he knew. He said,
yeah,
I saw the lotion in the audience.
Yeah, I was
how would he know that?
Well, they introduced me.
Okay.
I was out. Me and Susan were there.
I don't know what this guy knows 17 years later, but Gerald Roche looks like.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Rock and roll.
Sure, they were rock and roll. Rock and roll has been here forever. You know that, wouldn't it?
Okay. Okay, it's going to be a good interview.
That's right.
Please scratch anything or break anything.
Everybody gotta be cool now, okay? Ignore them. Ignore him. Don't ignore me. Alright. Your first musical instrument.
Guitar.
When?
Elementary school.
That was a long time ago.
My dad bought me a musical instrument, and I've been playing ever since, but they never let me play a guitar in the band, right? Never let me play guitar in the band.
Always a singer.
I was a singer, yeah. I'm a lead singer.
And a writer.
Writer also.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go back a few years, 1965. How did the Butterfly get started?
There's a place called the Palace, right across from the sports arena that wasn't built yet. And this group was breaking up. It was a house group. This was in the old days when they used to have like big horn bands and stuff like that. And so the group was breaking up, and they wanted, it was like right when the Beatles and the Stones are coming out. So they wanted a little foursome, like a Stones group or something like that. So they broke up the league, which is now like Doug Engel and Danny Weiss, who were the lead guitar player and the lead organist in the place. And they broke up, and they formed the Butterfly, and they needed a lead singer. I told them they needed a lead singer. So I took a boat and I put me in, so we've been singing with some of the singers, huh?
All right. What was what year? 65?
That was 1960. That was late 60, early 66. I don't know. Our brain cells gone since then. Yeah.
All right, 66. You know, it's 19 years.
It's funny because every day I turn around and I tell someone it was only 10 years ago. You know, but I don't know where the other 9 years went, but it obviously was fun.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. It's everything I ever wanted to do and be. I love singing. You'll see tonight.
Okay.
I love singing. I absolutely love singing.
Was that a goal? Was that a goal from the time you picked up a guitar the first time?
I didn't know if it was a goal or not. It was just something that I liked to do, and it came very naturally to me to get up in front of people. I was always a little ham when I was in, you know, in school. Everything, I was thrown out of everything, but I had a real good time being in front of people. I enjoyed people, you know, and, you know, making them laugh. Any kind of attention, I love attention. Anything I could do to get a strut. So anyway, so that's kind of how that goes.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, come in. Come in. Penrod.
Really,
this is Michael. Michael, he's talking menu towards you. Let's go
pick up the chest.
How you
doing?
Hi.
Well, then let's do it. Turn the thing around.
You look
better. Thank
you.
I
want to
put
a
leather
on
like my
Punk
housewife look, huh?
Your terry cloth robe was really nice.
Can you get it in? Are you picking this up?
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, we're fine. Getting it. Nice. We just want it clean.
Yeah, oh, it's fine.
Jerry?
How you doing?
Good. Whitney Southwick, Ron Bader.
Hi,
Canada.
Ron,
nice to meet
you. I'm Daryl.
I thought all musicians were kind of small. Who'd you play ball for? Jesus Christ. Did you play ball?
Yeah.
You must have, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess you mentioned that a little bit, didn't you?
That's where I ruined my back.
Didn't wear off. Get out of here for a second. Get comfortable. Sit down, because let us finish this thing up. And then we're going to have to boogie next door again. Did you bring some pictures with you tonight?
Some, yeah.
Okay, we'll take a look at them a little bit. I'm sorry, I didn't get to
you. Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Nancy, hi.
Nancy Schumer.
Nice meeting you.
Nancy?
Okay, Ronnie, listo?
Stand by.
Okay. Okay, so the Iron Butterfly is formed, it's about 1966.
Yeah, late 65, I would say early 66.
Right. Instant success?
About a half year. We were up in L.A. about 6 months and we took off, yeah.
What really got you going?
Well, a manager named David Winters picked us up, who used to be a choreographer for Anne Margaret and did West Side Story and that kind of stuff. He picked us up. And got us and stuck us in the Whiskey A-Go-Go, which really did it right there. And right after that, we started getting a lot of attention of local notability and that kind of stuff. So we were picked up by Green and Stone, and from then on, it was on the way. You know,
what was
put
it
out
like?
The first album.
Yeah,
we rolled.
What was it like in late '66 or '67 when you guys knew that? That you were really making it when you were Whiskey A-Go-Go, and what was the first sign? I mean, what, big bucks?
It wasn't the bucks, it was the notability, the people, I think. You know, the money was, you know, it started to come in, that came in later. But the people, once the place starts getting lined up around the block to come to see, you know that you're doing it. You know, it's working, it worked. It worked real good.
What were those days like?
Well, I wouldn't trade them for the world, let's put it that way.
Yeah, a lot of good memories?
Oh, yeah, fabulous. Yeah. A lot of real good memories.
Such as?
That guy right over there.
Yeah. I mean, like, why? What was special about it?
That's hard to tell. You know, it's hard to say. It's being up on stage in front of people and having them really like you doing something that you really enjoy doing well, you know, and I might add, you do well. You know, that's the biggest thing in the world. The money, is nice, but when you get people's appreciation from what you're doing, that's the biggest thing to me. I was like, was that the right question or what? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I hate these shy people that you have to draw.
Listen, am I looking good? Okay.
Okay.
This is my best side. You still like me out there? After all these years, kids.
Did we remember to put tape in? What was different about the butterfly? Why? What made you special? What made you good?
What made us good was the musicians. Musicians Jerry Penrod, Danny Weiss, Doug Engel, Ronnie Bushy, and me. You know, I was all right too. I wasn't too bad in there.
Blew the whole mic there. But
did everything.
Okay. Well, what was special? I mean, did you have a new sound?
We had a brand new sound, absolutely. What we used to call it, it was like a psychedelic. Those were during the Big L days, in case you don't know what that is. Osley! Okay. But it was, we had an absolutely real, just a totally different sound than anybody. In those days, it was easier to make it than now. There's so many good musicians out now. And I mean, I'm not taking away from anything from the guys, you know, that I played with and stuff. They were excellent musicians. But we just had a totally different sound than anybody else. And that's, I think, what did it. I think it was right time, right place, right music. And plus, we all had our hearts in it, and we were all going in the same direction. So. Is that good?
Yeah, okay. Life was just a little strange, a little different?
Oh, a little different, yeah, a little different. No condominiums in those days, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, were you guys a lot of dope, a lot of women?
Yeah, there was a lot of dopes on the street, but
you get the impression there was a lot of drugs, and I hate.
There were.
We can edit the hell out of this.
Yeah.
Was dope part of it? I mean, was everybody always stoned, or was that?
No, not always, but every once in a while, Jerry would fall off the wagon. No, but I was the only one that tried to keep that stuff away from the group. And it's absolutely true, really. Hey, trust me, look in the eyes.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Darling, I love you. I was the only one in the whole group that never even smoked a dube.
Okay. How about the women?
There was no women and no dope. Susan's over there. Honey, I swear.
In the North,
I was only with the boys.
Oh, that's even worse. Cut. Wait a minute. Would it be a lot easier if there were anybody else in the room?
Huh?
Would it be a lot easier if there was nobody else in the room?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I don't know.
Susan, I got grass in him. That was a long time ago.
There's a lot of women. Yeah, there's a lot of women.
Don't say that now. We don't get the thing from. You said you're going to be totally serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last time you were
totally
serious.
As soon as I walked in, you're not being serious?
Sure. All right. Be a beast of that.
I couldn't believe you said that was not dressed.
You got it on tape.
Wait. Talk to me about it. Talk to me. What was it really like?
What was it really like? It was nuts. In the 60s, it was absolutely nuts. It was such a rebellious time. There was a lot of LSD. There was a lot of drugs. Everybody did a lot of things.
Right? What was it like to be in a group that was literally on top of the world in 1966, 67, that was creating its own sound? You guys were probably more famous than the president of the United States in those days.
I could have told him that.
That was
the happiest times of my life, really. I must say that. I mean, I've never been happier than being on stage and singing with the boys and stuff.
Why did you then?
Why? Well, they just group conflict. That's all it was. There was a little competition thing going between a couple of the musicians, and they broke up and stuff. And so the second group came into act, and I left the first group. It's just, you know, just competition, just ego. Musicians, ego. I hate musicians. I hate them.
20 years ago, 20 years later, you're living on the beach with TV, you're a waiter now.
Yeah. Carry plates for a living.
You're just now getting back into music?
Yeah, well, I've been playing off and on, but right now, yeah, I am just getting back into music. I have this this group that I feel very fortunate that I'm singing with, a group called the Sears Brothers. Real popular group here in San Diego, great following. And ever since I've been in the group, they've really expanded. The following is really big now.
Where are you going with it, though?
Where am I going? I'm just to the PB Cafe.
After the PB Cafe? What would you like to see happen? Where do you want to be in 5 years?
of the president, of course. I don't think I'm going to go anyplace with it, but I'm having a good time doing and getting up and singing with them again. And it's been 18 years, you know, since I got back up on stage, and I had to get away from it for a long time, and I did get away from it for a long time, and I've always wanted to get back into it, and these guys have given me the opportunity to get up and sing a little bit. So.
Why did you have to get away from it?
Oh, I just got a mental block. Yeah. I just had to get away from it.
Was that
it? It was a fast life and stuff like that. I left L.A. because I had to get away from the whole scene, the whole whole thing.
Too much what?
Too many women.
Was it part of it?
No. That just I had to get away from it. All right. Too many drops.
And I don't even want that to be a big part, but you know, you sit only on the phone and now you're. You're kidding around, and we don't know whether, you know, what was it really like? None of us that were ever in a group can imagine.
I got high a little bit, too much.
Is that why you had to get out of LA, though?
I lost my confidence, you know, after about five groups, after the Butterfly, and I put several groups together. Jerry was in a couple groups with me together and stuff, and I just had to get out of it, and it just came. There came one time, one day, when I said, I can't be here anymore. It was just too fast.
And then what'd you do?
I split. Came to San Diego. Came home.
You did what?
To America's number one city.
Yeah. And you did what? What have you been doing the last
18
years?
18. Last 15 years? Well, I've owned two restaurants. I've owned a place called Shea Loma in Coronado, which I own. I love cooking. And I've owned a place called the Bull Ring in La Jolla, which did very well. I was always in the restaurant business. Looks like as though I'm going to die there.
Did you ever think, though, you would not go back to music, or did you always know that you would go back to music someday?
I've always wanted to. So that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I've always wanted to get back up and try it again. Not maybe just do the whole thing again, but try it and see if I like it. And I've tried it, and I like it. So it's in my blood. Once you get it in your blood.
That tape is tied for guy.
The suit right there.
It's tie-dye.
Tie-dye
tape.
Audio-wise, we got most of that thing except the very end, huh? Because I'm just about done. But you need to get a lot of cutaways in here, my friend. Hey folks, guess what? We're gonna try to get a buddy of ours to come up here and sing. I don't know if it'll work or not. But his name's Daryl. If you've been around this part of Pacific Beach, you know Daryl. He's a legend. But yes, a legend. But did you know that he's also a rock and roll legend? This guy was one of the founding members of Iron Butterfly. He was. And he's going to sing a few songs with us right now, not exactly Iron Butterfly song.
Hey!
Honka.
See you, Honka.
Yeah.
No, no, get the hell.
Thank you. This is the thing I told you about.
Oh.
This is pretty cool. Just the verse over and over again. Sounds different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, well, I was, somebody just walked up to my apartment that I lived up above the Whiskey Go-Go one day. And I was, had a day off from a tour or something, knocked on my door and said, hey, here, I made this for you. I listened to it, and I thought, oh, okay, and the guy walked away and disappeared, and I listened to it, this guy made this. I mean, that's got to be a real bitch to make one of those things, you know, especially, you know, I thought it was a great
job. Never be seen again, huh?
Yeah, it just disappeared.
Listen, I like your announcement, but it's a little dated, you know what I mean? That's old Iron Butterfly. Of course, nowadays, you never know what butterfly we're talking about. Is it Engel's Butterfly, Brahms Butterfly, Bushy's Butterfly, or Panera's Fly? You just never can tell, Rick. But one thing for sure. Hey! You know it's going to be good. That you know. It's going to be good, Rick. I hope you liked the article. I hope you used it. I hope you haven't lost it. Give me a call. Bye-bye.
Hello, Rick. This is Jerry Penrod. Just returning your call. I will try you this evening to see if I can get a hold of you. About the Iron Butterfly, and very interested and would like to get together with you for the interview you were talking about whenever we can work it out. And I will try to get a hold of you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, Rick. This is on tape now. This is official. It's Daryl Deloach from the old Iron Butterfly. And I got your papers and stuff. And, yeah, that would be nice to do a little interview and stuff like that. Okay, give me a call back, man. I'm interested. I'd like to do that. Bye. Hey, Rick, this is Daryl DeLoach down in San Diego. It's 3:15, Monday. Give me a buzz, dude. Bye.
Hi, Rick. I don't have a number that you can call me at. This is Doug Engel from the Iron Butterfly. Are you there? No?